are living in urgent times. If you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is March 30th, 2026. I am so happy to be with you. The weather is actually warm here in Philadelphia. We are so happy to have at least a day or two of this weather before some rain and some chillier weather again. After all, it's the end of March and we always get this type of weather. So we're grateful for any amount of rain because our reservoirs are very low, by the way. So let us begin this day in prayer. It is Holy Week. Can you believe it's Holy Week? Didn't we just celebrate Advent? It's Holy Week already. How blessed are we? So in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we offer up this program to you. We pray that you will reach the highways and the byways with your precious blood. We pray that all those who are supposed to listen today will be tuning in, and we thank you and praise you for all that you're about. We dedicate this program to all those who need to hear this program, and we pray protection upon all those who work behind the scenes at WTMR, the equipment, the transmitters, and of course, In His Time Catholic Radio. So Heavenly Father, we pray, of course, for world peace. We pray, Jesus, with all of our hearts, with everything that we have, begging you for world peace, Lord Jesus. We ask you today for a miracle for world peace. We pray today for the healing of our families, those who are hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually. We pray for this healing. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those in hospitals and nursing homes today, those who are forgotten, who have no family members, to pray with them, to talk to them, and with Easter approaching, we'll be on IVs and ICUs and in nursing homes all alone. So we pray for all those who have no one to pray for them, and we pray for them in intercession today. We ask that you reach your hand and touch their hearts in a very special way. Jesus, we thank you and praise you, and we glorify your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, a couple topics today, my friends. So many things just flying through my heart today. And one of the things that really came clear to me this morning was Mary's way of the cross, walking with the mother of Jesus. Now, if you're not Catholic, you're saying, I am not going to listen to this program. So insert yourself. You're walking with Jesus on the Via Della Rosa this week. Insert yourself and think about your mother walking with Jesus this week, walking with the mother of Jesus. So what was it like for Mary to walk with her suffering son? I want you to think about what would it be like for you to walk with your suffering son. With Mary, what does this mean? Do we put Mary in Christ's place or by speaking to Mary? Do we detract from God's redemptive suffering? He alone is our Savior. Mary doesn't take Christ's place. She takes our place. I want you to remember that. What I'm talking about is that she's taking our place. You who are listening, she embodies to the fullest the vocation that Jesus Christ entrusted to each one of us. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Well, this is a hard saying, isn't it? Anyone who has suffered destiny's blows knows that to love the cross for its own sake is basically impossible. It would break all of us. Mary walks another way. She loves Jesus passionately and totally. Her love made her ready for anything and everything. as long as she could be more profoundly one with him and could serve his work. Her love urged her to suffer the way of the cross with her son, and this is how she fully matured. Now, she helps us to master the anxieties in our life and limitations we encounter on our life's way of the cross, and through them to grow in love. Those who walk the stations of the cross with Mary will experience them as a path of blessings, as a liberating journey on the way to God, my friend. You see, Mary, our mother of our Redeemer and our mother, that's what she is. You were the first to be with him on this earth, and from the moment of his indwelling in you to his birth when you took him into your arms, to his first journey into his father's house, throughout his hidden and public life, you were the one. You were his companion, with him loving him and centered on him. Now, what was it like, do you think, for Mary to walk with her suffering son? What does this mean to you today? As we walk beside Mary to Calvary, we can learn to speak with her along the Via Dolorosa, learning to open our hearts completely to Christ. Take up our own cross today. I want you to take up that cross. You name it. Take up that cross today by following Jesus in a spirit of undying hope and unconditional love, my friends. As the ultimate point of redemption, his suffering and death, you were there. Now to your call to stand at his side, for his redemptive work continues in every age, and we would like to walk with you just for a little bit on your journey through the ages. Now, don't allow us to remain standing on the sidelines like uninvolved spectators, which is safer for most of us, right? Point out the way, each step, an implication as you did so long ago. Please teach us to be peaceful, to remember that Easter is at the end. Free us of useless thoughts right now. For you and for just these few moments on this radio broadcast, help us to forget the many things we have to do. Open the eyes of our hearts so that love alone is what we see behind all of this. Mary, help us to see everything with our hearts and like you to ponder with our hearts what we don't understand. What we don't understand. Now, St. Teresa of Avila once wrote, and I'm quoting her, "Once you embrace your cross, it's no longer a cross." Why would she say this? The most difficult thing about a cross is that we don't want it, do we? The most difficult thing about a cross is that we really don't want it. Once we accept it and embrace it, it's no longer bitter and unwanted. You see, life in this world is a test. Everyone has a cross. I don't care who you are. Everyone has a cross of some kind to bear. Sacred Scripture says, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. And that's from Sirach 2, verse 1. Father Andrew Apostoli, the deceased Father Andrew Apostoli, once said in one of his retreats, quote, "Will we love God and his ways or ourselves and our own ways?" And I'm asking you that today. I want you to answer that question right now and answer it honestly and out loud. Will we love God and his ways or ourselves and our own ways? Answer that, because it's pretty profound, my friends. Because to be content with the cross, and we're talking about the cross because this is Holy Week, that you have received, may it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, and you try to do your best to carry it with Jesus, I can't think of anyone who wouldn't say they're trying to do their best to carry it with Jesus. Don't worry if your cross looks different from someone else's, or if another person's cross seems smaller. There's a story about a man who complained that his cross was way, way too big. He complained so much that God finally said, all right, go into that warehouse over there and pick any cross you want. Guess what? He went into that warehouse and where he saw some huge crosses. He figured he must have been one of those. He figured that one of those had to be his. He looked around. He found a tiny cross and said to God, I'll take that one, God. I'll take that one, that tiny cross. And God said, that's the one you just had. Now, keep in mind that God gives us the cross we can bear, and that many people carry much bigger crosses than we do. Now, don't wish for someone else's set of circumstances, because you never know what a person is enduring. Even something that appears to be good fortune can turn out to be a cross, my friends. It can turn out to be a cross. Now, I know many of you have heard the lottery stories. You know, I've read a couple of those things of a couple who won the lottery and after taxes received about $500,000. And with all that money came nothing but heartache. You've seen this on the news or read about it. And their kids got into drugs. Two of them ended up in jail and problems came into their marriage. And the mother told one of our relatives and the news that the worst day in her family's life was the day they won the lottery. Now, I know many of you who are listening think that wouldn't be my worst day. That would be my best day. But if you really follow the track of people who've won the lottery, in the end, they all say it was the worst day. It changed their lives. So you never know. There's an old saying, God orders all things sweetly. He'll give us the grace to handle our crosses very well. And it's important for us to know this week. Now, what may a cross look like in your life? Maybe it consists of physical sickness or injury. And in the beginning, we pray for those in nursing homes and hospitals, or those who are alone without family. These are crosses, my friends. Even if they only temporarily disrupt our lives, chronic illness is definitely a demanding cross. And of course, the deprivations of old age, as I know, are crosses. A gradual loss of hearing, our sight, our strength, and for some, the onset of dementia. And sometimes our personal crosses are more of an emotional nature, aren't they? And we find ourselves fighting fear and anxiety, depression, and loneliness. God, in giving us these very difficult crosses, is asking us to learn to trust him and his never-failing care for us. You need to hear this week. Some people are beset by the problems of perfectionism. And I know a few. You know a few parents who are perfectionists. I'm not quite sure how that came about, but I see it clearly. Some people really have the problem of perfectionism. Now ask yourself, is this you? The temptation to have to be perfect in everything we do is a real trial that may take years and years to overcome. Now, spiritual problems can also be a cross. People who love God very deeply may enter a period of dryness in prayer. You know the scripture about Elijah and the dry bones? Unable to feel God's presence. They think this. They don't feel God's presence. They think that he'll never, ever renew their dry bones. He has abandoned them or he doesn't love them. And trust me, I've been there. The beautiful Song of Solomon in the Old Testament that describes the love, the between a bride and a groom. I want you to look that up tonight. At one point, the bride, searching for the bridegroom, but unable to find him, says, "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" Sometimes we, too, experience that sense of loss, and we wonder, where is God whom we love? Doesn't he love me anymore because our prayers aren't being answered? My friends, this is a very powerful trial, but we must remember that God never walks away from us. Never. And I think I shared this last week. I told a family member who said her prayers were not answered, and she had been praying, and her prayers were not answered. I said, oh, yes. There are three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and it's not time. God never walks away from us. He may be silent. You may not sense his presence today. But he's near, my friends, and his love never wavers. God doesn't have moods like us. He doesn't have moods. Oh, he's in a good mood. He's in a bad mood. He doesn't wear a mood ring to find out if he's going to have a good day or a bad day. He loves you so much on the worst day of your life as he loves you on the best day of your life. God doesn't have moods. We do. St. Teresa of Calcutta endured 50 years, 50, my friends, of spiritual dryness and experienced a sense of abandonment by God. Can you imagine 50 years? And she's a saint. St. Teresa of Lisieux similarly entered a dark night of suffering for about 18 months before her death, and said that she experienced no consolation at all in front of God. She said, God, I don't have any consolation from you. How many of us right now, the beginning of Holy Week, are saying that to God? I have no consolation. I have nothing, Lord. Both these women and countless other Christians have endured this issue of abandonment, but they've weathered the storm by carrying their cross and seeking the Lord with all their heart. You see, my friends, old habits of sin can come back and back and back and haunt people. These severe crosses test us, but can become born just like any other cross. In these situations, it often helps to seek the counsel of a wise confessor and the grace of the sacraments as an aid in getting through this temptation. Because you want to walk away. You're like, my God doesn't answer my prayers. I have no consolation. You want to walk away. You need to seek someone to pray with you. Sometimes when people get older, the devil brings up their past sins and says that God didn't forgive them. Now, I know that we have people listening today who believe that. Oh, you may have adultery, murder, you cheated a bank or your employer, I don't know. And you say, oh, God could not possibly forgive me. The dark night and sense of desolation that accompanies these trials are part of the cross that you're carrying. We're identifying, we're building this cross. God leads us through these trials so that we learn to trust him more, and to love him more and more and more, and to seek him with holy longing. And sometimes our family is the source of our cross. Oh, I just hit a sensitive bone, didn't I? Sometimes our family is the source of our cross, and Easter's coming up, and perhaps you're going to Easter dinner or Easter brunch with family members that you really don't want to be with. And so you're identifying with that. Sometimes your family is the source of the cross. And those who are married must keep in mind that their commitment is for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until death. Separation and even civil divorce happens at times when, for example, a spouse or children need protection from abuse. But the struggles of married life are crosses allowed by God to help a couple grow together in holiness. We learn to love God through loving one another. This begins in the family. Not the family down the street, your family, if you're listening. Your family. Now, Father Andrew Apostoli shared this story, and I love it, and it's written down in my journal. And he said, I'd like to tell the story of a priest who was giving a parish mission. He told the people to bring any religious articles they wanted blessed on the last night of the mission, and he'll bless them. And that night came, and he asked everyone to hold up all their religious articles. And a big commotion broke out in the back of the church because a woman was trying to lift up her husband. Oh, I know you're laughing on the Schuylkill. I know you're laughing. A woman was trying to lift up her husband. And the priest said, lady, I'm not blessing people. I'm blessing religious articles. And she yelled back, Father, he's my cross. Isn't that great? But guess what? I love that story. He laughed. Father Apostoli laughed. And she literally, this is a true story. She yelled back, Father, but he's my cross. Now, raising children, too, can be a cross, can it? Criticism, fighting, the loss of respect, the use of foul language, which is so prevalent. I am astonished at the filth that these kids are spewing out of their mouths, even in grade school, on social media, the filth. The use of foul language can crowd into a family's life and do great harm. It's not harmless. That is filthy, demonic language. Parents and children need to work and pray together to achieve harmony. And sometimes, no matter how faithfully and loving parents carry out their role, disappointments, troubles, alienation from the family, ingratitude, that's a biggie, isn't it? Abandonment of the faith, that's another biggie. And other problems occur when the children grow up. So numerous daily irritations can accumulate to feel like quite a heavy cross. And you're going to hit it at the Easter table or Easter brunch. Maybe conflicts at work, different approaches to problems, a lack of communication can be terrible burdens that weigh us down and rob us of joy. I remember a cartoon that fits in here. Do you remember cartoons? Do you ever read about them anymore? I don't even know if kids read. I don't even know if they know what cartoons are. Remember the funnies on Sunday? We would read the funnies in the paper. They don't even know what that is. How sad. I remember a cartoon that fits in here. A man was reading the newspaper while his wife was working on a crossword puzzle. He's saying to her, in answer to her question, no, I don't know the meaning of the word apathy, and I couldn't care less. That kind of attitude, especially in families, can be very, very painful. And finally, the world presents us with crosses in the form of war, terrorism, the economy, natural disasters, and so on. We're facing that right now. We're facing it right now. It's a huge cross. And some people are chosen by God to be victim souls. I would like to do a program on victim souls. Some of the saints that were victim souls, Padre Pio was a victim soul. Victim souls are asked to bear great suffering for the love of Christ. And this type of suffering is called witness suffering. Now, you may know of someone right now who's suffering. These men and women, and even children, give a good example of faithful Christian life that encourages us. I said Padre Pio was such a person. He had so many sufferings, but he used to ask the Lord for more because he wanted to share in those of Christ. He endured the cross of illness, beginning with a bronchial condition that started in his childhood. And by the way, it remained with him for his entire life. He sometimes had fevers of 115 degrees. I read that. Can you imagine? 115 degrees. Did you know he served in the military during World War I, but was sent home to recuperate on 5 different occasions? The last time, according to the doctor, so that he could die in peace. I know we have listeners who didn't know this. Misunderstanding and false accusations plagued him his entire life, even in childhood. And when he was a young boy, someone slipped a love note into his pocket during class in order to play a trick on him. The other kids amused made a lot of noise, and when the teacher asked them what was going on, they said, "Oh, it's Francesco." That was his baptismal name, by the way. He's in love. And the teacher found the note and slapped him across the face. And later, the teacher learned what had really happened and apologized to Francesco. Years later, Padre Pio, referring to that incident, noted that the teacher never took the slap back. And when Francesco was getting ready to go to the seminary, a student who was really jealous of him started a rumor that Francesco was in love with the train master's daughter. Now, the parish priest who was helping Francesco with his preparation to go into the seminary never asked him directly about it. The priest became so angry that he kept his distance and wouldn't communicate with Francesco for an entire month. The poor young man didn't know what was going on. And later, the priest learned the truth and helped Francesco along with his plans. Now, I know we have people listening today. This is happening to you. You're carrying a mighty cross. And you all know the story of later in his life, the Holy Office placed Padre Pio under investigation 5 times in a period of 10 years, all because people, including his local archbishop, spoke against him. He bore the stigmata, the 5 wounds of Christ in his hands, feet, and side for over 50 years. And some people, though, accused him, and they still do today, of faking these wounds. And one, a priest who was also a psychiatrist, wanted to investigate those wounds, even though the Holy See had forbidden anyone to investigate them without their permission from the Vatican. Padre Pio asked the priest if he had their permission, but the priest would only say that the Holy Office knew he was there. Padre Pio pointed out that he hadn't asked for that. He'd asked if he had permission. And when the priest said no, Padre Pio threw him out. Yeah. Talk about crosses. This is a saint that suffered terribly. If you compare your crosses to some of the crosses of our saints, maybe some of you can rely and relate on a lot of this. And you know about the stigmata. It was physically painful. People didn't believe it. Saint Padre Pio was a true disciple of Jesus. He daily took up his cross in so many forms, my friends, and faithfully followed after Jesus. Luke 9, verse 23, he faithfully followed after Jesus. That's pretty powerful. And this is what our Lord is asking us to do today. And as we started with Mary walking alongside of Jesus on the Via Della Rosa, joining her heart to his, this is what our Lord Jesus wants us to do this week, to join our hearts to his, to take our crosses, to join our crosses to his this week, to make it a holy week. So after the break, we have so much more to cover, so stay tuned.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on WTMR 800 on the AM dial. I'm so happy to be with you today. It's Holy Week, March 30th, 2026, and we're discussing the cross and how the Blessed Mother walked with Jesus and the way of the cross and how Jesus wants us to walk with Him this week, with our cross. So I have a question for you. Now, Father Andrew Apostoli wrote, "Will we love God in His ways or ourselves in our own way?" I want you to answer that. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who's going to be beatified in September, once said that there are basically two philosophies of life, Christian and secular. Now, the Christian life is one of fasting and then feasting, and the secular life is one of feasting and having a hangover. See, I always infuse some humor in these teachings, but I didn't say this. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, two philosophies in life, Christian, which we fast and feast, which we'll be fasting again this week and Friday, and then feasting, if we're secular, feasting first, and then he said, I didn't say this, Archbishop Sheen said, and then have a hangover. Well, where are we with that one? Now, if you've ever read The Imitation of Christ, it's not an easy book to read, but I highly recommend it. It notes that if we carry the cross will end up carrying us. What? Now think about that. If we carry the cross will end up carrying us. Now, if you think about this, the cross will strengthen us and make us less susceptible to the snares of the world. That's what it means. It takes time and effort, my friends, to learn to carry the cross with Jesus. Like the apostles, we learn to do this over time. It's not like instantly. We learn to know and love Jesus, to enter not only into his sufferings, but also into his joy. And this is what this week, Holy Week, is all about. Now, we may wonder, after all this, if it's wrong to ask the Lord to take away our crosses. Are you asking that? I've asked that. I think the saints have asked that. Are you asking it today? Is it wrong to ask the Lord to take away the crosses? Jesus himself gave the answer to that question in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is Thursday, Holy Thursday this week. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's from Luke 22, verse 42. So yes, my friends, we may ask God to remove our crosses today, so long as we ask it according to His will. To His will. St. Teresa of Avila, when she was really, really young, had a great cross of sickness. Did you know that? And she prayed to the Lord to take it away. I know we have people listening. Please take my cross of sickness away. Later on, she said that she thought she had made a mistake. She should have learned to carry that cross as best as she should. While it lasted, God taught her many things through that cross and gave her many blessings. Now, I want you to ask the Lord and our Blessed Mother to give you strength to bear your crosses this week. That they will bring you many graces, and they'll bring your loved ones many graces as well. It is through bearing our crosses that God pours forth His grace more abundantly upon the world. St. Teresa of Calcutta used to say, and I've shared this so many times, that when suffering comes, it's a sign that we're close enough to the cross of Jesus for Him to give us a kiss. Now, last week I had the great honor of speaking with Marty Rotella, who's been a guest with me over years and years on the radio. And many of you know the story of Marty, and I will have him on the air when he's ready. He had a stem cell transplant 2 years ago. Only 1% of the population, it doesn't work, and it didn't work for Marty. So he's basically apartment bound for over 2 years. This is a man who traveled the world, who wrote well over 1,500 songs to our Lord, who is a three-time Grammy nominee, a retreat director, an evangelist. He loves the Lord so much, but he was on fire when I spoke to him. Here's a man trapped in his apartment, not a house, an apartment, with a piano, and he's writing so many powerful songs. He sent me a few of them. They haven't been recorded in a studio, but they've been recorded in his little apartment. Dear Lord, they are so powerful. From his cross, so many blessings will come forth. He may never be able to leave that apartment. He may never, but he is able to do radio broadcasts and to send forth his music. I don't know. He has no idea what God has in store for him. But talk about a cross. Here's a man who traveled the world as an evangelist, three-time Grammy nominee, retreat director, evangelist, great devotion to bringing youth to Christ. Can't leave his apartment, undergoing chemo for the rest of his life, suffering, but joyful. He also posts special reels every day on his website. So if you go to Marty Rotella or Spirit Power, you'll see some of the reels. Every day, early in the morning, he posts the word for the day. It's only about a minute reel. So powerful. The other person carrying the cross last week, I heard, and many of you know her, is Anna Iatesta. Anna, as many of you know, and her husband Bob were the founders of Living Bridges, an apostolate for adopting children from Mexico. Great evangelist, retreat directors. Her husband passed away a few years ago. Anna fell and was severely injured, broke her hip and some other things. She's now confined to a nursing home. Yes, another great evangelist, a and friend. Now, she will not leave the nursing home. This is her home. Her home is being sold. A home where so many masses and meals were shared, and canned goods for the homeless. So many lives changed over countless years and decades. Her home is being sold and all of her belongings, and she is now in a nursing home, according to her daughter, Susanna, for the rest of her life. So two great evangelists in 1 week, I heard, bearing crosses that to me are insurmountable. And these are God's chosen people. It has taken me to another level of understanding. At any moment, we don't know what God has in store for us. I know Anna well enough that she will be praying with people in the nursing home. It's a Catholic nursing home. She'll be praying with people when she can, if she's well enough, and changing lives to her last breath. And Marty Rotella, he's writing songs in the depth of abandonment. He's basically, you and I would call it, imprisoned in his apartment. He was in the hospital for 2 months in isolation. And a donor from Europe gave him the stem cells, and only 1% have failure rates on this, and he's the 1%. So here's a man who prays and prays and prays and has brought so many people to the Lord, and here is a woman who has prayed and prayed and prayed for decades, dedicated her life. I believe their crosses are gigantic. And that's what led me. I've been reflecting upon this. It truly affected me. And another friend who is a big Sacred Heart ministry person in Texas, huge, went to Paray-le-Monial, France. She and her husband were really responsible for so many homes and businesses being thrown in Texas. Her husband died last week of brain cancer. So last week was an unusual week for me to ponder and reflect. It doesn't matter if you're listening today and you think, well, I can't do anything. I'm bedbound, or I'm in a nursing home, or I'm in a hospital. Yes, you can, because these are great evangelists who've been smacked in the head and in the heart with great crosses, and they are willing to carry these crosses in the name of Jesus Christ to continue to promulgate the gospel. They're not giving up. So the end message from them to you, if you know them, and many people in this ministry know them both, or know all three of them, they're not giving up. And another friend who's written all the books who have had on the air, Ann Cardoza Costa, lost her husband in January. Suddenly, she's written all the books on the Sacred Heart that are sold on Amazon and anxiety, and she's been on the air with me so many times sharing her amazing story. She lost her husband. So there's a lot of loss, but she is continuing to minister to those who are in need, who need revival in their hearts. So you see, I'm very blessed to know these great people who have dedicated their lives, who are suffering so much right now, who have not given up. They are going to continue. They are going to continue. I hope to get Marty on the air with me. I would have to be in the studio to do it because his cell phone service isn't very good. He lives up near New York. Anna, I'm not sure, because there's times when she's okay and other times she isn't, but I would like to try to at least to have her give a message to all of you. Ann Cardoza Costa said she will be on the air, but not yet. Not yet. She just lost her husband. And Donna in Texas, who's a leader in the Sacred Heart Ministry in Texas, will also share a powerful message. You see, these are people who are carrying huge crosses this week, this Holy Week. And this is why the Lord led me to deal with this topic of the cross. It's very hard for me because the cross is our sign of Christ's victory. My friends, the cross is the sign of Christ's victory. We need to remember that. No matter how dark, if you've lost a loved one, how dark, Jesus is here. Do you know Jesus preached about the cross three times during his public ministry, predicting that he would suffer and die on the cross, but that he would rise again three times? The first occasion came after Jesus asked his disciples who people thought he was. They said some people thought he was John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, and still others one of the prophets. And then he asked, by the way, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now that the disciples knew that Jesus was the Messiah, he had to tell them what kind of Messiah he was, that he was going to be a suffering Messiah, betrayed by his own people. And at this revelation, Peter pulls Jesus aside and begins saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. He's trying to talk him out of it. He's trying to talk him out of the cross. And Jesus replies, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. That's what we have to remember. For Jesus, the cross was everything. My friends, the cross needs to be everything for us. Do we believe that? The cross needs to be everything for us. When I was speaking with Marty a couple weeks ago, I was saying, oh, Marty, he was in the hospital in isolation. This must be so hard for you. He really got upset with me. He said, I can't allow negativity in my life. I can't. I am positive. God has a plan. I don't know what the plan is. I've been sick for 2 years in this isolation and treatments and hospitalizations, had lung biopsies. I can't begin to tell you all the things that happened to him. But he is so positive. He told me last week, I think it was Thursday, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm writing more songs than ever. And his last one was For You Alone Are God. 14 songs he sent to me. 14 songs that are going to be recorded. I don't know how. It's all digital and things are amazing. 14 songs out of this cross. And I know Anna has written books and she has prayed. I don't know where this will go with her because it's all new. But I know God has a plan for her not to lay in bed, for her life to be of worth, that she will set that nursing home on fire for the Holy Spirit. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. My friends, if you contact the ministry, I will get the address for Marty Rotella and Anna for Maureen to possibly forward any note cards or notes of encouragement. I won't give the address for Maureen to give out, but perhaps she could forward, if you do a self-addressed stamped envelope to Maureen, she could forward them to both of them. Because this is a powerful time, my friends. This is a powerful time in our lives. You see, if we carry the cross will end up carrying us, because the cross will strengthen us and make us less susceptible to the snares of this world. And my friends, we cannot forget that this Friday is the beginning of the novena of divine mercy. We cannot forget it starts this Friday. If you have never prayed, it's so easy. Or look it up or ask a friend to pick up a pamphlet at church. It begins Friday and ends the Sunday after Easter. It is so powerful, because if you're carrying a cross maybe of bitterness and hatred, and you just feel like you're on the Via Dolorosa and the cross is so heavy you can't stand up, this is a time when Jesus is asking you to give it to him. It will give you strength. He will give you strength. You see, Jesus drags his cross for love of you. Yes, you who are listening. You cannot change a thing, my friend. I can't change a thing. You can only accompany Jesus and be close to him, even if only from a distance, and show that, like him, you are ready to fulfill God the Father's will. Are you trying to make things easier for yourself this week? Your cross is meant for you and for no one else. And it's so hard to stick it out, isn't it? And to endure the long haul. You want to scream, please let this be over. Walking here with you are Mary and Jesus. The journey begins to make sense if you see them. Your quiet love joined to your longing helps you to see Jesus' suffering face in your cross. In your cross. It's almost as if you carry your cross for him. And I trust that you'll teach me to discover God's love directing my life in every direction. That's what Marty said. Just as you found it on your own, you expect from me only my readiness to continue the journey daily, hourly. So even when others turn from you, nothing tears you from the Savior, your own beloved Son. You will walk each station, the Via Dolorosa, no matter where it leads. I'm going to pray that you walk the path, each twisting and turning path, grateful for the love you're sharing. And I'm going to pray for all of us who are listening to bear our cross with love, to bear our cross with love. And we all know the betrayal that Jesus experienced, in which we, if we honor the Sacred Scriptures and Holy Thursday, the Garden of Gethsemane, it was way too much for him. It's way too much. You know only too well, my friend, how often we fail each day. Don't we dread and detest our cross? Let's be honest. I think I won't have the strength to bear another moment, let alone a lifetime. And again, I stumble and fall under the burden of my own shortcomings. We all need to consider how to take our cross up again, not to throw it away, to leave it behind. We need to see our cross differently today. Teach us, Lord, to have patience with ourselves and with anyone who stumbles, who makes mistakes, who fails. Now you know You long to hold Jesus like Mary did, to comfort him. This is the hardest day of your life, isn't it? You don't want anything to hinder the Father's plan of redemption. If you're listening to this program, you do not want to hinder the Father's plan of redemption. To endure it and triumph, Jesus must take himself into human suffering. That's right, human suffering. Your eyes communicate to Jesus that with him you will do what the Father asked. Till life is totally given for the friend, I would like to join with him, one with you, to find the Father and the infinite mystery of his love. One with you to hold lovingly, still without question. My friends, we are living in urgent times. This is a holy week unlike anything we've ever experienced. In Kathleen's book, In the Silence of My Heart, I turn to today. You see, as you journey along this Lenten journey, it's a time of purging. It's a time of deadheading. It's a time of bringing forth new life at the end of this journey, and for many that are hellbound. I'm waiting to set them free where they're bound in habits that are not conducive to a spiritual life. I will say, come out, and you will be set free. And so I say to you, as you travel along this journey, I am actually loosening the bonds that hold you bound today. And as you continue through the resistance of the temptation to fall back in your old ways, you will gain strength today. You will gain new life. You will gain freedom through this resistance. I pray that the Lord will place in your heart today that the cross that you're carrying, whether large or medium or small, that you will line it up with his cross and walk the Via Dolorosa with Jesus and purge yourself of old habits that are keeping you from recognizing his face in your cross. And to pray for those who have no one to pray for them. My friends, I pray that you have a beautiful and blessed Easter. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope. Thy will be done.